Okay, here it goes. Parshas Korach. So we have here the famous rebellion. Article calls it the rebellion in the wilderness. Korach rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu, and commentators say not just against Moshe Rabbeinu, but against God himself, claiming that it was all a sham, it was all a fake. And there are different explanations, Midrashim, of what was the final blow and why he decided to go crazy, what exactly came to terms with this, what honor did he not receive that he wanted, or something like that, that created this entire rebellion. And now I ask you a question. Very possible that until this moment, you never thought of this question. I would say not only possible, I'm going to go probable. Stephen, I'm telling you right now, I'm confident to say, I don't think you've ever thought of this question. And this is how you see one of my lines. I always used to say this. The problem with watching movies about biblical events is that they create the picture in your head. Otherwise, you're picturing yourself, but they give you that picture. Like you might think based on age that Charlton Heston, that Moses looks like Charlton Heston. Hopefully not, but you might think that based on the movies. So now in your head, handsome guy, I just know his name. I don't know what he looks like. Oh yeah, oh yeah. But this question, we're coming up. We never discussed in this class yet, and it's a very fascinating question. And it goes to how we're going to define a few things about this parsha, and a question that most people don't ask. In your mind, right now, you tell me. We're talking about the Korach rebellion. He wanted honor. He was going after Moshe Rabbeinu. Picturing this man, how you picture someone in the desert dressed. I'm going to guess you guys are thinking long white beard. Don't tell me yes or no. How old do you think Korach was by this rebellion? And by the way, we're going to take the assumption, the debate, but we're going to take the most probable assumption that this event of the rebellion of Korach happened pretty early on, maybe even before the spies. So the Jews left Egypt, as we know, in Pesach. They got the Torah, Shavuos. 120 days later, they're forgiven for the golden calf. That's Yom Kippur. They begin the Mishkan. The next year, Nisan, they finalize it. That's the first year in the desert we discussed, Passover a couple years ago. And the spies were sent out 6, 7 weeks later, around now actually, of the second year in the desert. Korach probably happened before that. So we're early on in the desert. So let's try to figure out now. Let's just go. I didn't know what anyone was thinking. But the Torah starts out by giving you maybe a reference. I think not, but maybe it starts giving you his lineage. And by the way, why are we giving his lineage? Right away, the Torah says, yeah, it's going to give you his lineage up until Jacob. It could be that the reason to bring the lineage when we start to fight, because really, I mean, let's be honest here. How it starts. Korach, the son of Yitzhar, the son of Kehath, the son of Levi. Rashi's right. Oh, not Yaakov. Yaakov wanted out. I got a question. Your opinion, Michael. Was Levi a good guy? Outside. Do you think Levi deserves to be mentioned here? I mean, Yaakov wasn't mentioned. He said, get me out of that. So what do we mention Levi? I would guess and say that Kehath, fine fellow, if I have to say. Yitzhar, I mean, what are we giving the lineage for here? Now, I understand once it's here, it's all Yaakov, and we discussed that a different year. But once we're picturing lineage, is it possible to start thinking, oh, let's do a, let's figure out generations and maybe we can figure out who it is. Now, in general, as we know by religious Jews, that doesn't work out so well. Why? Because you have, let's make a number here, once every, I'm making this up. No, I have no survey to say this, but I'm going to say once every 3 months. That might be too little. Once every 3 months, there is a bride walking down the aisle with her groom. We don't walk down together, but bride walking down about to get married, and the mother's expecting. In Judaism, the bride is never expecting, but the mother might be expecting. So it's hard to know the age-wise. I mean, you have many people that are younger, are older than their uncles, right? Older than their uncles. So you could begin the conversation by saying, okay, let's figure this out. Korach, Yitzhar, Kehath, Levi. We'll figure out who Moshe Rabbeinu is, and we'll try to figure out from there how old Korach is. It will be a difficult answer to get to based on what I just said now, because the age of the kids doesn't really apply always, because you have a child born much later to someone born much earlier in the game, and then you have cousins once removed who are the same age in the same class. So before we start, just in your head, we're not going to do a survey because it won't look good on camera. If you had to guess the age of Korach when this battle began. First of all, by the way, be honest. Were you actually thinking white beard? Were you thinking white beard or Korach? You were thinking brown beard before that? Okay. You were thinking white beard?
There's
Now, okay. He's going to say, now we're going to have to figure out how old Moshe is now. Oh, so that's good. Moshe Rabbeinu would be a little over 80 right now. And Korach, which I think the reason why I'm going into your mind. Ooh. I'm going into your mind and assuming that the reason why you're thinking that because they're cousins and that's who fights. I mean, I'm not picking on a guy pick on someone your own age, right? It's like, why would Korach go either way? If he's 175, like, is it a little odd he's fighting on Moshe Rabbeinu? On the other reverse, if he's 17 and a half, would it be a little weird he's fighting against Moshe Rabbeinu? Both sides are going to have positives and negatives where we're going. So Charles took, before this conversation, that he always thought, he just never thought about it at all. Always just assumed, even before the conversation. Aaron is older than Moshe by 3 years. So we're going to assume right now, fair assumption, Moshe Rabbeinu year one is around 82. Aaron 3 years old will be 85.
Saying Korach is between them two.
82, 85, that's what Charles thinking as well. And
I would think 50-60.
any reason why?
Just because the ages of Moshe and Aaron are unusually old for the activities that they're doing. I
Oh, so
would
you
think that
figure.
he would be in, he's got family, 10, money. Middle age, late middle
Okay.
aged is what I would
Okay.
figure.
Now, as usual, so we have to find, now how are we going to figure this out? So I gave you one approach, which is, I'm telling you, is not a good one, is try to figure out the years based on relatives. But again, we said that doesn't work out years wise. So we got to figure out approach, and we start looking around. Like, what do we know about Korach? So fascinatingly, so one amazing, there is a Kabbalistic writing. Now, fascinating, just the history of it behind it. The history is that the Beis Yosef, author of the Shulchan Aruch and the Beis Yosef, 1500 Tzvas, I think he died in 1575, if I'm correct. And obviously, in Tzvas at the time, we don't realize what it was. That was like the place. That was the Mecca. You had seven or eight superstar rabbis. They created the Smicha program. I think we once spoke about here, how they reinstituted the Smicha. And they had Alshech, the one who wrote the Chadoidi, the Charedim, the Ribbe Rav. We're talking about real legendary people all hanging out in Tzvas, mid to late 1500s.
Yeah, the Ari.
Arizal. Well, bad job, right? Arizal. Right. I knew I was missing somebody. We're talking about like main people here. And among the most fascinating things was that there is a sefer written of the what's called the Maggid, like the angel of the Beis Yosef, Rabbi Yosef Kairo, who visited him and spoke with him and talked to him learning. They have it printed in Hebrew and in English already, parts of it in English, about conversations that this great one had in Divrei Torah. In that book, 1500s. And it's funny, by the way, because Charles has hit a home run without even knowing it. When you look through this forum, they quote this idea I'm about to tell you from the Arizal. Now I'm realizing why people think it's an Arizal. It's the same time in Tzvas, probably. But anyway, this Maggid, what's called the angelic Maggid, told him a fascinating idea. And again, it's hard to read this stuff because it's not on the level of a 2025 Miami Dolphin football fan. So it's hard. But basically, what it says is this, that when Moshe Rabbeinu left his home, Parshas Shemos, and we might have discussed this here. He left the home probably for the first time, and he went outside and he sees two Egyptians fighting each other, and he gets upset about the birth of Moses. Hold on. It says, we're going all the way back. Moses identifies with his people. It happened in those days that Moses grew up. Vague terminology. I'm looking at someone here with a white beard who I still will not say has grown up yet. Moses has grown up. And he went out to his brethren and observed their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian man striking another Hebrew man. And he kills the Egyptian. And, which sounds like another religion, I might add, and it sounds from this Maggid that the moment the Egyptian was killed, the soul transferred. You know which religion, the different religions discuss that. When someone passed away, soul transferred to the nearest body. The soul transferred and someone was born at that moment, and his name was Korach. So, Korach has an attachment to this Egyptian person that's killed, according to the Kabbalistic writings. So that is a good start now. Why is that a good start? Because now at least we have a vague age, potentially, of, okay, let's do this. Obviously, in order to know this, you have to find out, okay, how old, that's why I started that conversation, was Moshe Rabbeinu when he went out and killed the Egyptian? That age is going to be how much older Moshe is than Korach in the rebellion fight right now. So just before you start, you cannot be almost wrong on this. Depends on how bad you are on the SATs. Because when you go through the early commentators, that will go to Midrashim, we'll do first, and then early commentators. If I remember correctly, there are 11 different answers to how old Moshe was when it says he grew up and left his home. And that's going to be a massive difference of, again, the ages of, depends on how big the difference is in the ages, obviously. But we're going to have at least 11 different potential ages for Korach. So, as a, once again, true pursuit question, maybe you'll cut the stuff out. We guessed on where we're holding age-wise. Two people guessed around Moshe's age. Stephen went middle age. He went a little younger. Now let's. How old do you say Moshe was when he went out? And we only have one clue. I mean, that's called a clue. Vayigdal. I think that was the word. Vayigdal Moshe. Moshe grew up. What age would you identify someone as growing up? 13 is a very good answer, which would mean that Korach would be 70, late 60s. Late 60s, if you say that. Now, that's an early commentator. We're going to start with the Medrash. Start with the Medrash. We'll get to that one. So the Medrash has an argument. The Medrash, which is the first. So fascinatingly, we're going to start with the Medrash because that's earlier. Medrash like a Gemara. The Medrash quotes two answers. One answer was 20. 21's an American thing. 20 years old. And one Medrash said, and the Medrash on the Medrash argued, Yehuda, I think, or Nehemiah. And the other Medrash says, no, he was 40 years old. That's the Medrash. Now, when you start going to the early commentators, the first one that pops up is 13. Because a guy in Judaism, when does a person grow up? When do you become obligated? It's at 13. And then you start looking around for the answers. So let's go, let's pick the extreme here of 40. Now, there happens to be, by the way, without this, it's not attached to this Medrash at all. There is a legend, I don't like the word that, but early sources that say that Korach at this fight was 130. That happens to be extreme view. But that's not going with this Medrash because that won't fit with Moshe. That's for sure not. For sure not. But I'm just saying, just to hold it as a side there, 130 is going to be a very high number. So if we're going to say he was 40 years old, Moshe Rabbeinu, that puts Korach, we're moving him down in age, right? As we move Moshe up in age, we move Korach down in age because we know that he was 82-ish around this event. So the later what Moshe was when he hit the Egyptian is the earlier, younger he's going to be. So if he was going to be 40 years old, then Korach will be around 40 years old now. If we're gonna, and as you go further down, if he's 20 years old, then he becomes 60-ish years old. If you go to 13, he comes to 69, right? We're moving as the ages go. What's fascinating is, again, so there's a massive argument. So in a way, you have a good answer. What you could do is this. You establish Moshe Rabbeinu killed the Egyptian, and now I'm just going to have an 11-way argument. Okay, I'm good with that. We have 11 different potential things. Okay, but now there's another thing. Does anyone remember, I don't know if Osko says it, the reasons we said earlier, why Korach decided to rebel? What happened that Korach says, "Ah, I don't trust this anymore"? What happened? What was his job title before this? So there is another Medrash. I do not think Osko quotes it, and the Medrash says a fascinating thing. The Medrash says that Korach's job was from the family. What? And again, because every word's gold. Why did it begin telling us his lineage? Because it says Ben Yitzhar Ben Kehas. Kahas a few weeks ago.
They carried the thing itself.
Very impressive. Kahas carried the ark itself. And it says that Korach was from the carriers of the ark. And he had a confidence in himself. He was like, listen, I'm really impressive. And people looked at him as very impressive. And the reason why his rebellion was somewhat successful was because they knew he was a very, very impressive person. We look at him as the worst, but he was very, very impressive. And there is a medrash that says, and there's different midrashim. One says, if you remember, that he didn't like the fact that the Kohen Gadol's clothing didn't have tzitzis. There are different approaches, but there is a medrash. Each one has to be analyzed and can be written an entire book on. One medrash says, Korach from the carriers of the Urim. Good job by Chaskel. Now I'm going to point you back to something, which some of you, of course, are thinking. Page 777. In Baal Yischof, just in case we put a tag on it. In Baal Yischof, it says like this. Hashem spoke to Moses saying, this shall apply to the Levites from 25 years old and up. They shall join the legion of the service of the tent of the meeting. That's when you begin the service. Next pasuk. So there's clearly a lot of contradiction. They begin at 25, but from 30 years of age, I just read this right. From 50 years of age, he shall withdraw from the legion of work and no longer work. So if you're going to say that Korach was an active carrier job. That's a job, active carrier. Then there's a real issue here. He cannot be older than 50, which puts it where Rosen was saying. So again, as far as the lineage goes, we don't like it because it's first cousins marrying, doesn't work. As far as going, we have a great potential Kabbalistic writing, Mitzrayim, it's a great one, but again, there's a lot of theories. And you could always say, just because you're going to tell me, wait a second, Rabbi, there are definitely views that he was 13 years old, Moshe Rabbeinu, which would mean Korach, but in 69, you're going to have to say they're right. That Medrash can't agree with that Medrash. If you go with the Medrash that says Korach as an active job was carrier of the holy ark that he had between 30 and 50. And this becomes a great hint and a great question. Again, for the people that don't believe he was between 30 and 50, they're like, wait a second, that measures me. So far, that the holy Svasemis of Ger died in 1905, Poland, created the Gera dynasty. Well, Chazal Sharon created his grandfather, but he turned it from a small little town into biggest top three for sure in Europe at the time. He writes in his on Chumash, he used to say it over. He writes that when the Med, he's so convinced that there are so many viewpoints that don't have him within the 30 to 50 range, so many of them, that he says that the phrase in the Medrash, even though it says it, the phrase in the Medrash says that he was carrying the Urim, that was his job. It didn't mean that. It meant he was worthy of carrying the Urim based on genetics. He comes from the family Kahas. He was a bright person. He was straw, whatever you need. But the Svasemis says, but don't read that Medrash as is. It's, of course not. He would have been a carrier had he not had an age disqualification. Go.
And he was upset that he aged out, that he turned 51 at the
Very
time.
nice.
Moses said, "Oh, you're done." He's like, "What are you talking about? I never heard that from God."
Excellent.
And he may have been the only one that turned 51 at that moment.
Excellent. So, Charles, with a bomb answer, that maybe the because you have to know, because the Medrash says that the reason why Korach went off and began the rebellion, gives different reasons. One of them is because he was a carrier of the Ark. So the next question is going to be, well, how does A equal B? Because he's a carrier, went off. How are you going to connect that? And they come up with very interesting original ideas. But Chaskel has his own interesting original idea. Perfect. Maybe he aged out right now. He just turned 50, and they came to his house and they removed the title and they took they took it, they walked him to the outside with his bag. They took the parking lot. They took the bathroom key away. There's a famous joke that goes around Judaism. Everyone knows this joke, that there's a person who was extremely wealthy and very successful, and he got honored everywhere and stuff like that. And then tragically, God had other plans and the money gone. And he goes to this grand rabbi and he tells the grand rabbi, you know, I could deal with the fact that I don't have the money anymore. It's hard, but I grew up in the slums. I can go back to that. Most of the rich people say that. Might not be true, but they like to say it. I can go back to driving a beat up old second term car, one car out of two, or getting into a bus. Right. But she's telling this grand rabbi, Rabbi, I can handle the downsizing of my monetary. Well, I can deal with that. I can deal with the fact that people now don't honor me at dinners. I didn't like the dinners anyway. I wasn't looking to speak. The whole, again, protecting himself, no interest. I'm fine with that. Guess what? Shlishi every week. Who needs it? I had it already. The honor guy, I'm fine with it. But I'll tell you what bothers me. What bothers me is that when I was a wealthy guy, because I had those words in, people knew how smart I was and people came to me for advice. What should I do about this? What should I do about this? Business decisions. When you're very wealthy, they come to you for all types of decisions, not just business decisions. How do we do this? How do we do this? Should we put the chairs over here? Because he knows how the room should look based on ear, AIR, and energies. Yeah, he knows how that should work. We have a question. How should you run a school? Call the rich guy in. We're running a school thing. What do you think the best way to educate children today is? Because the rich guy knows it. He goes, I lost my money. I'm not being off, but I didn't lose the potential for giving great advice. What happened with that? So, long story to get to that point, a very, very deep joke. Is Chaskel saying, very good. Korach had front honor. He didn't care for the honor. He didn't care for the money. He says he was a wealthy guy. But you know what happened? 50 years old. And they came to him and they said, you know, you aged out.
Retirement, forced retirement.
Forced retirement. Forced retirement. Nobody wants
And
forced.
they just made that rule up a day ago. For a horror
And he's like, Moses made this up. So Charles is saying that maybe he was 50 years old. He's turning into, I don't know if Stephen said 50. He said midlife. I don't know what Stephen holds midlife is, but 50 is good. And
I
you know
said
what? It,
56, said 50-60.
oh, 50, 60. Okay. So, and but by the way, just to back you up for no reason, but to back you up between you and Charles to make some synocracy, that's not even a word, whatever the word is, to sync it, it could be that he was, let's say, I'm making up a number, 55, let's say, but at that point in time, it wasn't relevant to carrying the ark. Let's say the person turned 50 years old. Did he know at that moment, by the way, they'd lost my job? Or no, the next time they're about to travel and he's got to carry the ark. So it could be Korach stretched that out a long time. That means really he was officially retired. He just didn't know yet because it wasn't relevant. Like, right, it happens. Like, let's say a guy hit 65 on a Friday afternoon. I don't know if they fire him on Friday. They wait till Monday morning, right? So Saturday and Sunday, he still works for the company.
They were the town for 19 days. Yeah. 19 years. So even though for 19 years he was retired,
it didn't make a difference.
Until the next day, like.
Even, I'll go a step further. Even if he knew, no one else knew. No one's thinking about it. So that would be one approach. Very, very good. Very, very good. So there are ideas. Now, what's interesting is that, again, if you, the younger you make him, then you have Akiva's good point that how's he going to argue with the people elder than him? If he's 55, okay, but if you're going to put him lower than that, he's arguing Aaron Akain. If he's 40 and Aaron's 83, it's a very aggressive stance to be taking to going against someone so much older than you. But I'll tell you something amazing. And it could be. This is what Chaskal has to come in. Fascinating. There is another medrash. These medrashim are very interesting. That writes that Moshe Rabbeinu was one of the people who carried the Aron. Him and Korach were next to each other. But the obvious question becomes what? Moshe Rabbeinu was definitely over 50 years old. Not even debatable. He was definitely, because he came back to Egypt post-80. So the Chassam Sofer asked this question. Chassam Sofer says, wait a second, Moshe Rabbeinu carrying the Aron, how does this even make sense? So the Chassam Sofer gives the answer that, you know, it was a special dispensation. If you say Moshe Rabbeinu got a special dispensation, you can come up with two answers here. You could either say Chaskel's answer is even better than we thought. That he's looking at Moshe Rabbeinu and he's saying, what is about that 50-year-old thing you just told me? Can I get that in quotes? At 50, I lose my job? And Moshe Rabbeinu, your job is what? Continuing? This doesn't sound like it should be.
Yeah.
This sounds a little funny. So it could be, when the Medrash says, that he was from the carriers of the Aron, was past tense the carriers of the Aron. As soon as he lost his job, it's a double whammy. Not only, as Charles said correctly, listen, I lost my job, I don't believe in this stuff, but I have a bigger question. Moshe Rabbeinu, you have the job. Special dispensation, seriously? Is that what we're going with now? Or I would say, Chaskel's wrote a little differently, that maybe if you can answer, Chassam Sofer can answer, Moshe Rabbeinu got a special dispensation, maybe Korach also had a special dispensation if you believe he's over that. And maybe Korach recognized one of two ways I want to do this. Either he said to himself, this makes no sense. I mean, I'm a benefactor here, but right now I'm a benefactor sharing with Moshe Rabbeinu as a benefactor. But you know what? If my rabbi once told me a great story, there's a big rabbi in Israel who writes a certain ruling. We're going to keep it vague because it'll probably stay on the thing that is not accepted by the extreme right-wing religious community. This rabbi was a superstar. He wrote a sefer that's phenomenal beyond belief. He survived the war, and this one responsa was very frowned upon by all the right-wing people living in post-48 Eretz Yisrael. Just in case people listening know what I'm talking about, it'll be easier for them. So he survived the war. He came to Palestine. Then it became Israel, Eretz Yisrael. And then there were certain rulings that had to be made, and he made a ruling they were against. And the famous line was that the Chazon Ish, the star, the leader of the right-wing community, said, you guys do not minimize this person, because his Sefer is phenomenal. The response is phenomenal. He has, I'm making them now, 180 response. They're amazing. He's first class. You can rely on everything except for this one. This one don't rely on. And a different rabbi said, who says, I love the Chazon Ish, obviously, but I just want to say, if the Chazon Ish says you can rely on everything but one, we'll do everything included. That means if the Chazon Ish gives you a stamp and says, 99% of what you're saying is great, if you rely on that 1%, you're doing okay. Don't sweat the small stuff. That means if you say, I believe in the 1% also of what he ruled, you're in good company. So what happened is here, Korach's on the, that took a long time to get to this point. Korach's now on the receiving end. And he's like, Moshe Rabbeinu got a special dispensation. I got a special dispensation. You know what that means about me? I'm pretty, pretty good, to quote someone, right? So you know what? I don't want to share the spotlight with Moshe anymore. Maybe I'm the only one who deserves a special dispensation. So the reason why him being a carrier of the ark, we're adding in now, post 50 years old, that created the rebellion, was because he was like, Moshe Rabbeinu. The first answer we were going with was Moshe Rabbeinu got the dispensation and he didn't. The second one was that Moshe Rabbeinu got the dispensation and so did he. But he felt, if I got it, then I'm as good as Moshe. Because only 600,000 men, it's me and him. Similarly, we could say that he felt insecurities and he said, listen, there's no way Moshe got a dispensation, and there's no way I should get a dispensation. 50's 50. You know what? Moshe's BSing. And you're right, I'm a benefactor. Moshe, let me do it. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm a relative. But you know what? I'm going to tell the people, look how good I am. I'm a man of the people. I don't want special dispensation. The great rebellious leaders, what are they always saying? All for the people. You got to convince them when you're running until you take over. So Korach is like, guys, me? You know how good I am? I'm so good that I could bluff this whole thing and remain as one of four people in the entire Klai Yisrael that gets to carry the Ark. And you know who's with me? Me and Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'm really up there, but I want to explain something to you. It's not true. At 50, I'm out, so I have a good idea now. Moshe Rabbeinu is making this stuff up, and I'm doing this for you. I'm so good that I could have bluffed it with Moshe, but I'm telling you, I want it for myself because I'm really better than Moshe. That's how it goes. So we will stop here, just to understand. I hope Michael was up to the hype. The main question we're discussing is the age of Korach when the rebellion is occurring. And it's a little confusing, unclear, but the age is going to potentially, understandably, tie into how we view the person. Is he audacious? Is he respectable? What is he fighting about? Now again, there are other answers besides carrying the ark. But if you're going with the carrying of the ark, okay, what would the ark carrying have to do with the rebellion of Korach? Food for thought. Have a great night.
Thank you, Rabbi.